This morning we talk with a brand new performing arts company in our region. The Berkshire Opera Festival's inaugural season features a new production that takes a fresh look at Puccini's masterpiece, Madame Butterfly. It is a timeless love story featuring beautiful music sung by a world-class cast. Taking place in an apartment overlooking Nagasaki Harbor, director Jonathan Loy's production moves the action to the 1960s and sets it against the backdrop of Japan's golden 60s economic boom. Joining us this morning to talk more about the production and the company, we welcome Brian Garman, artistic director, co-founder, and conductor. Brian, good morning.
Good morning to you.
And we welcome two members of the cast as well. John Cheek joins us. He is singing the Bonds, who's Butterfly's uncle, correct?
That's right.
Excellent. And we also welcome Sarah Larson, mezzo-soprano, singing Suzuki, Butterfly's Maid.
Yes,
very nice
you.
To have you with
thank
us.
You.
Thank you. Well, Brian, we'll put you on the spot first of what were you thinking? How did you end up doing this?
Well, this story goes back a long way, actually. My colleague and co-founder of the company, Jonathan Loy, who's also the general director of the company, we met in Pittsburgh about 17 or 18 years ago. At that time, I was the resident conductor at Pittsburgh Opera, and Jonathan was in college at Pittsburgh and had an internship at Pittsburgh Opera. And that was where we met, and we shared a similar aesthetic when it came to opera, and we talked over time about the possibility of getting together and starting a company of our own. And originally, the idea was that we were going to put together a Verdi festival there in Pittsburgh. And there were a whole host of reasons why that didn't work out. But at the time, we had done some preliminary budgeting, and we had put some ideas together in terms of infrastructure of the company. So that was when we laid the groundwork. Then years passed, and about 2.5 years ago, I was returning to New York. I had been in Seattle for 5 years. And as I was returning to New York, Jonathan, who's a stage director at the Metropolitan Opera, there was a certain amount of uncertainty at the Met at that time, as many people might remember. So we decided to revisit this idea of starting an opera company. And with his family ties to the Berkshires, this seemed like the right place to do it, and it seemed like the right time to do it. So we revisited our earlier plans and started putting together new numbers and fundraising, and here we are now.
So what is it, when you look at the right time, what gives you that idea in the sense of where you are? Because it comes down to like a business plan, right?
Of looking at this is what
we can do, and this is the niche we can fill.
That's exactly right. And there were two factors that influenced our decision in this. The Berkshires are such a culturally rich place, especially during the summer. There's so much going on. But there was no opera. There had been opera up until 2009, but there hasn't been for 7 years. And it seemed like a good time economically because the economy was recovering and things just seemed to fall into place.
So when you decided to, and I guess this is a question about the mission statement, of mm-hmm. what you wanted to accomplish, what did you want to do with this company specifically for this region?
We wanted to bring the highest quality of opera possible to the residents of this region and to make it accessible and affordable. And we wanted to present to them top-notch designers, world-class performing artists, and an excellent orchestra and chorus.
And how hard is that to do? What are the challenges in bringing that together?
The challenges are myriad. Even if you set aside the financial challenges of building something like this, the artistic challenges are big also. Probably the largest were in terms of the ensembles and putting together an orchestra, first of all. There's an easy way to do it and a difficult way to do it. The easy way would have been to have called an existing orchestra and saying, can we rent your musicians for the summer? But that would be something that we wouldn't have any artistic control over and that we couldn't build the sound over time into what we wanted it to be. The difficult way would be to audition musicians and put something together from scratch. But then that would be something that belonged to the organization, and we could shape it in the way that we wanted. And so that's what we did with the orchestra, which was a little over a one-year process. Similarly with the chorus, we have a chorus of 17 in this opera of really very fine local singers. The principal artists actually were the easy part because everybody in the cast, Jonathan and I have worked with before at one company or another, and they're all really world-class singers and performers, and so there was no need to audition people. We knew who we wanted from the beginning to take these roles.
So let us come to this production and the idea behind it and its setting it at this time, in this place, and what that does for the story.
Well, the idea behind doing Madame Butterfly in the first place was because we wanted to find something that was sort of outside of the top three operas, the Traviatas and Carmen and Barber of Seville, but that still had a little bit of name recognition. I find in my experience that companies that begin by doing Traviata and Carmen and Barber of Seville 10 years later are still doing Traviata and Carmen and Barber of Seville. But at the same time, we couldn't go too far afield with our repertoire choice because we need to sell tickets. And so we needed something with a little bit of name recognition. That, coupled with the fact that Madame Butterfly is an absolute masterpiece and is something that is beloved by audiences around the world for many years now, since the premiere of its revision, which was 109 years ago, made the piece an easy choice for us. And Jonathan's decision to set the production in the 1960s just takes a fresh look at the story. So we're putting something on stage that has a name that people have heard, that has melodies that people will be familiar to them, whether they realize that the melodies are from Butterfly or not. They've heard them at some point on a TV commercial, perhaps. But we're taking a fresh look at it and framing it in a way that's not the same as everyone has seen it in every other production.
All right, so let's get to this wonderful cast. Tell us about, as you mentioned, you've worked with pretty much everybody here, and that includes John and Sarah, I assume.
That's exactly right. Sarah, actually, I knew from Seattle because Sarah came through my training program that I had at the Seattle Opera. And John, actually, I don't know, even know if John remembers this, but back in 1997.
Pretend like you did. Just pretend.
Yes, absolutely.
Just nod and say,
of course.
It's how I met John, was at Pittsburgh Opera when I made my sort of big debut. I had conducted student performances before, but my debut in the house was Romeo and Juliet, and John was singing Friar Lawrence in that production.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course.
I remember. Good. Excellent.
Ah, yes, I remember it well.
Makes it even better. Okay, so Sarah, let's begin with you of what it's been like to start to do this particular take on this very famous opera for a new company.
It's been a fantastic experience, and I've never been to the Berkshires before, so running around and exploring this whole area has been really wonderful and eye-opening. This is the first time I've done more of an updated production, and it's been really great because we've been exploring kind of some new topics of feminism in the 60s and what does it mean to be a woman in Japan trying to wait for her husband who's in the United States, and what would he expect her to be like. A lot of these themes are really, really interesting. And the cast has been really open, and it's been a really rewarding process.
How long have you all been together?
We got here, I think, August 2nd or 3rd. We've been here for a few weeks now, and we've become a little family. It's really wonderful.
Very nice. So, John, over that time, how does it start to unfold to get to the point where you actually do this and say, oh, okay, I'm comfortable with this?
Yes, well, my part's rather interesting in that I'm probably the only one who's not really at all affected by the time change. I have a rather brief and very disruptive part. Butterfly's father is dead, and I'm sort of the father figure in her life, and I deeply disapprove of this, and I make this known with great obnoxiousness. And it's interesting that such a supposedly awful character actually ends up being right about this being a really bad idea, Butterfly marrying the American. You know, I come in and tell her that she's betraying everything that she has. She's betraying her religion and her people, and you have betrayed us, and we will betray you, and we reject her. And then she has to be comforted by Pinkerton afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's a devastating scene. Again, it's quite brief and quite active and very, very dramatic, and it's interesting to do. I just sort of come in and scream and yell and
cause a lot of problems and leave. That's good.
Exactly.
Well, we've all had that dream, haven't we? and Sarah, tell us a little bit about your part.
My part is the role of Suzuki, who is Butterfly's maid and confidant. And they've been together pretty much most of their lives, and Suzuki really sees the transformation in Butterfly from when she first is married and when she's waiting for Pinkerton to come home. And she goes through kind of a complex thought process, because while she wants her mistress to move on and be better, you can just tell that the only thing that will make this woman happy is if this man returns to her, and Suzuki's just not sure that that's going to happen. So she has to be simultaneously supportive and cautious. I mean, it's a hard role to do, because you see this woman go through these really intense emotional changes, and it's a lot of Suzuki's have trouble crying during the show, because there's a lot of emotions going on.
Performances are Saturday, August 27th, Tuesday, August 30th, and Friday, September 2nd, all at 7:30 p.m. at the Colonial in Pittsfield. And you can find out more information by going to BerkshireOperaFestival.org. So this is three performances, and then what? The long-range plans are what?
The long-range plans are to add productions as time goes by. Hopefully in our third year we'll be able to add a second opera in addition to our other summer programming, which features recitals with piano, a lecture series, and ultimately a third production during the summer as well. And hopefully by year five, we'll be able to add a training program, an apprentice program for singers.
Wonderful. So a lot going on. You can find out more about the entire festival as well as the productions of Madame Butterfly coming up by going to BerkshireOperaFestival.org. Again, performances are Saturday, August 27th, Tuesday, August 30th, and Friday, September 2nd, all at the Colonial Theater at 7:30 in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Brian, John, Sarah, thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you all here.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much.
Best of luck in the new endeavor. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.